Okay. You know, God had a purpose for saving each one of you. It wasn't just to keep you out of hell. Now, people act like that's why they were saved, is simply as a fire escape. But it is more than that. It has always been more than that. God saved you for a purpose. And he saved you to be a steward of the time that he has given you. He gives all of us time, and it's different for each one of us. But that time, during that time, we are to be a steward of the things of God. And this morning, we're going to talk about the things of God. We're going to talk about six mysteries. Six mysteries. There are six mysteries in the New Testament. Paul refers to them. Some other writers refer to them. But six mysteries, and there are Christians who do not understand what the mystery of God is. And we want to, one by one, look at those, at least look at them this morning, so you will understand what they are. Because that is what you are to be a steward of. You are to be a steward of the mysteries of God. And there's a reason for that. Because the world doesn't understand it. The world out there, they don't read this book. If they do, they don't understand it. They don't comprehend it. And so God has given each one of us a job. A job to be a steward of the mysteries of God. And the verse that we're going to use, two verses actually, is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." That goes for you ladies too. We're all supposed to be faithful. Faithful, being stewards, good stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, if we think of a pleasure ship there are stewards on board a ship, and the steward is there to serve the passenger, to serve the people who are going along for a ride. And that's sort of what our job is also. You are to share the mysteries of God, because these mysteries are interesting to the people of the world, and they do not understand them. And because you might have an answer as to what the mysteries are, they might listen to you, and the Holy Spirit might have a chance to work in their hearts and bring them under conviction. And they might, because of the mysteries of God and your knowledge of them, get saved. Man, wouldn't that be fantastic? Some of the folks that we are ministering to, some of the folks that we love, getting saved because we are being a good steward of the mysteries of God. So this was, as I began to prepare for this, I had some adjusting to do. I found I had some adjusting to do. I'm as human as anybody else. And I am as prone to, I'd like to call it making mistakes, but there's another word for it. I don't want you to know that about me, but it's okay about you, but not about me. There's a little three-letter word for it. It's called sin. And sometimes we are guilty of it unintentionally. Sometimes we're guilty of it intentionally. That's between you and God, not between you and me. That's what we believe. That's why we believe as Baptists, as a Baptist church, we believe in the priesthood of the believer. That means each one of you are a priest unto yourself. You don't have to come to me. You don't have to come to anybody else. You can go directly to God and take care of business. And that's how we're supposed to live every day. So this morning, we're going to consider some of the mysteries of God. And some Christians just don't understand how to go about finding out what these are, or how you explain them, or how you would define them. And so we're going to go ahead and look at the mysteries of God together this morning. And I hope that if this sparks a little bit of conviction in your heart, that you will take care of it this morning, right here, where you're sitting, just between you and God. And so we're going to include the mystery of God as a mystery by itself. And I'll find there are five mysteries that we're going to look at in our quest to answer what the mysteries are. And let's not lose sight of the fact that we are looking at these mysteries so that you and I can be good stewards of the time that God's going to give us. It begins today. It begins right now. The Apostle Paul knew the mysteries of God as well as any man. Yet he could not fathom the height, nor depth, nor width, nor breadth of what they encompassed. Yet he spoke of them from firsthand knowledge. In Romans 11, 33 through 36, Paul cries out, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath given him, and it shall not be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." All things in the earth are through him, particularly those things pertaining to our salvation, which was planned before the earth ever was formed. God chose to redeem you before there ever was a world or a universe. God knew you were going to be a sinner. And because of that, he planned the Son, Jesus Christ, to take care of that, so that he could have a relationship with you this morning. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. He loved all of us that much. It's all, you know, it is all possible because of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary. That is the only thing that makes it possible for you and I to be our own priest between God and ourselves. In the first epistle to Timothy, we're going to see the first of two mysteries. 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 10. 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 10. It says, "Likewise," now this is talking about certain officers of the church, but it pertains to all of us. "Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. Faith is a mystery. Can you explain to me your faith? Can you show me evidence of your faith? Can you show me proof there is such a thing? Now, the scripture has a verse that pertains to faith. We find it in Hebrews 11:1, and it talks about now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, let alone somebody in the world who has never been in the Word, who has never experienced saving faith. But that is, to those of us who have gotten faith, received faith as a gift from the Holy Spirit, to us, there is a lot of substance to faith. To the world, it's like a vapor. It disappears. They don't understand faith. They don't understand it. When we talk about faith, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't know. We do because we did that. And there is substance to it. It is real. We can't lay it out for somebody to look at or to handle or hold. But in our hearts, it's real. Because faith is true. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How does it work? The world, like I said, it's a vapor. It vanishes. It melts away. So faith is a form of mystery. That's six mysteries that we're going to look at this morning. The mystery of God, who He is, what He's done. The mystery of faith, how we come into a relationship with Him. And then a few verses later in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory. This verse is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the mystery of godliness. He was God. He was God in the flesh. He came and He lived here on this earth to show us that it was possible to do what God has asked us to do. To the world, it's a mystery. To the world, they don't understand how placing our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ can give us eternal life, because they do not know eternal life. They can't experience. They haven't experienced eternal life. So it's a mystery. Mystery of godliness. And Jesus Christ is that mystery. Now, there are just three more mysteries, and we can get to our study of stewardship, because that's what it's really all about. Remember, I'm sharing with you the mysteries so that you can be a good steward of the Word of God, because that's what we need to be. So, we go to 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. We think about it. We sing about it. We dream about it. Who can tell me about heaven? Who can tell me about heaven? That's a mystery. I know you can read all about it in Revelation chapters 21 and 22, but that doesn't tell me much. I see some big pearls that are the gates to heaven. Never closed. Never dark there. Never night. We don't really know about heaven. It says God has prepared things for us there that we cannot fathom, we cannot think of. And these are going to be good things, people. There will be no barking dogs. There will be no pain. And any tears, God's going to wipe them away. We know those things. But it's still a mystery. And we have to accept that as a mystery of God. It's there. We're all hoping that, and I hope there's a reason for your hope. We're all hoping to get there one day. To be back together again. But not just us, but millions of people through all of history gathered before the throne of God, the throne of Jesus Christ. Now there's another mystery that we don't talk much about. But if we're going to be knowledgeable of all the mysteries, we need to consider this one also. And that one we will find in 2 Thessalonians 2, 5 through 10. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonian church, says, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." Okay, there's a mystery. Well, who's he talking about? Verse 7. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Verse 8. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders, with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Now we're considering the iniquity, the mystery of iniquity. And folks, the mystery of iniquity is boiling right now. In this world, it's boiling. There are places, even in this country, where there is anarchy, there is rioting going on. There's every conceivable wickedness, murder, rape, and nothing is being done about it. Nothing. This is just the beginning. Right now, the Holy Spirit, because of you and I and others like us around the world, the Holy Spirit is holding back the power of Satan, the power of iniquity. And it's a mystery how he's going to do that, how he's doing that. Yet he is. The Bible tells us he is. And one day there's going to be someone called Antichrist. He's going to be empowered by Satan. He's going to deceive the entire known world. And they're going to follow him. And he will be destroyed by the Word of God. the Word of God is going to destroy him. You can read about it in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. But in the meantime, you are being protected. You are being kept in the hands of your Heavenly Father. And He is not permitting you to be overcome by the Antichrist. I don't know if he's alive today. I, with all that's going on, I think he must be. I don't know who he is, neither do you. But God does. And one day, when the church is no longer here, when you and I are standing before the throne of Christ in heaven, because the church is raptured out, all of those who are believers, who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been born again, all of those will be taken out by the Holy Spirit. What we call the rapture. You won't ever find the word in Scripture. But that's going to happen one day. And I don't believe it's that far away. So we are considering the mystery, the 7-year tribulation. They will just seeing little specks of it right now, here and there. But there will be a day when the entire world will be living like that. Nobody will be safe. Nothing will be sacred. Nothing will be safe. I'm so glad we're not going to be here. I'm so glad we're not going to be here. We're going to be with our Jesus. We're going to be standing before the throne and seeing the three angels flying over the throne saying, "Holy, holy, holy." We're going to be singing praises to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't be here. But there is a day coming when iniquity will rule the earth. Now, one more mystery before we get into stewardship. Okay? Remember, stewardship is the subject of what we're doing here this morning. But we have to review these mysteries. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Most of you are familiar with it. I love this particular part of this chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." And here it is, people. It's mystery number 6. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, even shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Ah, the mysteries. They're not so much mysteries if you think about it, if you're reading your scripture. Not for us who know Jesus Christ, but these mysteries are things that we, you and I, are supposed to be familiar with so we can explain them to the people who do not understand them. People who do not believe that they exist. So, what does a steward do? They serve. You and I are here in this place, in this life, at this time, to serve the purpose of God. That's why we're here. We're not here to go to work tomorrow, though we will, some of us, or some of you. I'm too old to work. At least that's what I've been telling everybody. I work. That's not the purpose God put me here for. It's not the purpose He put you here for. He put you here to be a steward, a servant to the people who do not know Jesus Christ. He put you here to be able to explain to them these mysteries, and particularly Jesus Christ rose from the dead. To the world, that's a mystery. How did that happen? Now, they celebrate Easter. You see all these ladies wearing their finery and the pretty hats and all that stuff. But to most people, that's all that Easter is. It's a day to dress up. A day to go out and spend a lot of money at the department stores or the dress shops or the shoe stores. Easter to them is a dress-up day. It's a day to hunt Easter eggs, to talk about rabbits and other things. But they don't talk about the thing that Easter is really all about, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And His resurrection through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's part of three. How could He do that? How did that happen? Why do we believe that? I believe that because there's been a change in my heart. I hope you believe it for the very same reason, that you have been born again, that your soul has been made alive in Jesus Christ, that it will live for all of eternity in Him, not in your strength, you have nothing to do with it. You just happen to believe. And the Holy Spirit of God did all the work in your life and in your heart. He now lives in your heart. And because He lives there, you can be a steward of the mysteries of God. You can tell other people about God, about what has happened to you, how God has reached out to you and down to you. You know, one of the first mysteries that we looked at was a mystery of faith. People have trouble trying to exercise faith. You tell a person, well, you have to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't really believe who He is. They haven't read about Him because they haven't studied the Bible. They've been living their lives for themselves. And that's so strange. But part of faith, and we find it in the faith chapter, is in Hebrews 11:6. Where it tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently serve Him. Diligently seek Him, I'm sorry. You see, it's the mysteries of God that separates you and I from the world. It's the mysteries of God that separates you and I from the world. And we need to be able to explain these mysteries for the world. If we're not doing that, then we're not serving God as He seeks us to serve Him, or seeks us to the way He wants us to serve Him. Believe it or not, none of us are exempt from service. There is nobody 4F in the Lord's army. No one 4F in the Lord's army. We're all soldiers of God. And as soldiers, he expects us to be good soldiers, to follow orders. Everybody has a job. Now, if you were part of our Sunday school class a few months ago, you'll remember that when you got saved, the Holy Spirit gave you a gift. And that gift was for you to hide in the closet. No. It wasn't to put in your pocket. It was to use, to tell others, to prove to others that there is substance to faith. Because what the Holy Spirit can do, they can't experience, they've never experienced. But they can see it in your life. They can see your love for people you don't know. They can see your joy for life because of what God is doing in your life. And they can also, in times of stress, in times of adversity, peace. Peace that passes understanding in your heart. They can see that you are a different person. You have a life that they don't have, a life inside of you. And as they see that, hopefully they will want that. The mysteries of God, believers from unbelievers. I hope this morning you understand each of those mysteries. God does not intend for you to be ignorant of them. He intends for you to believe them, to understand them, to know what they are. Because he intends for you to be his steward and to serve him and all those people who are on their way to hell this morning. Now, he gave you a gift. And Peter talks about it. 1 Peter 4:10. Peter talks about the gift. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. We're to minister to each other. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The mysteries of God. And we find the principle throughout the Bible that we are to be servants to the needs of others. And the verse is a good place to start, this particular verse we just read. And every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We sang this morning, we sang a song, The Family of God. We're all in the family. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you are in the you are a part of the family. If you don't know him, you are not part of that family, but we would like you to be, and we'd like to show you how you can be. That's why we're here. We're not really here for coffee and donuts. But we like coffee and donuts, so we have them with Sunday school, okay? We don't have it with church. We don't want coffee and donuts in here. What we want is the Word of God. What we want is the purpose of God to be fulfilled. What we want is for us, you, me, to become the stewards that God intended us to be. The Holy Spirit has placed within us a capacity love. Not the kind of love that you and I would generate, but this is the love of God. He places that in your hearts. You can't do anything about it. It's going to be there. If it's not there, the Holy Spirit's not there, because that's the first evidence of the Holy Spirit. You're going to love people. People you don't know, people you do know. But that is one of the first evidences of the fact that the Holy Spirit is living in your heart. The challenge that we have is actually to love the people that God sends our way, because some of them aren't too lovely. Some of them are mean-spirited. Some of them smell bad. But God has put the capacity in our hearts to even love them. And so we just need to let God, through us, let us be the stewards God wants us to be, to minister to those kind of people. Oh, my flesh doesn't always want to cooperate with my heart. Neither does yours. There are times your heart and your flesh sort of want to part company. God's in your heart. It's up to your heart to use your flesh. I understand how the Apostle Paul must have felt when he called out in Romans 7:24, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" You know what the answer is? Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit. When he indwells you. Paul knew that. Paul had been delivered. We need to be too. I find it hard to be a steward of the mysteries of God when this body of mine has such voracious appetites. There are times when I don't want to go out and do what I'm supposed to do. There are times when I don't want to say something to somebody that is there before me. There are times when I attribute it to shyness. My wife doesn't believe that. Neither does God. You know what? We are supposed to be under the control of God, not us. And that's what we're going to have to work on. We have a lot to tell the world, and we are quick to talk about everything but the mysteries that God has put before us to share with the world. So it's time for us to ask questions. It's time to make an application to the Word of God that we've been hearing this morning. Just what kind of steward are you and I? What kind of a steward are you? What kind of a steward am I? Do we actually recognize the mysteries of God so we could explain them to anyone that might ask about them? You've heard this morning. If you take notes, you may have the Bible reference for one. What is our attitude about the lost people? I'm not talking about a reaction to them. What is our heart attitude toward the lost people around us? I will have to admit there have been times when my heart attitude has not been right. And I needed to talk to God as I was working on this message. I was reminded of some of those times. I could mention names right now to you of people that I had difficulty loving and that I didn't love enough to pray for them that they might get saved. Now, by the way, the Bible doesn't tell us we're to pray for a person to get saved because we can't control that. Only God can. Only the Holy Spirit can. But we are to do what God gives you and I to do. What they have to do is not our business. What God wants you to do is your business. And nobody else, I can't hold my wife responsible for what I don't do. I can't hold anybody responsible but me. And that's between me and God. And that is what each one of us must acknowledge and come to the place where we say, okay, God, I will do what you want me to do. I will be your steward. I will serve the lost people around me. So let me ask the question one more time. What kind of a steward are you? What kind of a steward of the mysteries of God? And then one more question. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You can do anything or you just ignore it. Ignore God, ignore God's will for you. Or are you going to take some time to talk to God and make things right? I can't answer that question. Only you can. Father, we commit ourselves to thee this morning. We know you have a purpose for us. We know that you have shown us in your word what the mysteries are. We know that you have said we are to be stewards of the mysteries. Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit, meet the needs of our hearts. Meet the needs of our intellect. Father, that we might be comfortable with your word, with your purpose. And Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit, energize us. Use us to accomplish your purpose for each of our lives, to make us stewards of the time you give us. And Father, may you be glorified. May your will be done. And we will praise you for all that you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.